Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK, and it's time for another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. And this week we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 9 and 13 to 15, and how God's generosity feeds our own. So from the English Standard Version, our text reads, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." It's funny, isn't it, how we get upset when we can't do anything about the government being overly generous with our hard-earned tax money. But I suppose we shouldn't be too surprised. We also can find it tough to be generous with the money we do control. If I were to give you some homework to do, say list out some reasons about why I'm not generous as a personal exercise, I imagine there might be some responses such as, "It's hard to be generous not having a job or the funds to contribute as I'd like to," or "I'm afraid I won't be able to survive on a fixed income." Another may even be afraid that they won't have enough left over to meet bills and other obligations. Perhaps one expects that they should have a holiday every year, and that they would go insane if they didn't get to go off and have that time away for that little bit of calm. At the end of the day, if you and I are not generous, we will always have our reasons. Yet we hear the Apostle Paul talk in our text about some poor Christians who pleaded for the privilege of being generous. Can we be like them? Let's have a look at how Jesus shows God's generosity toward us, and see how God, being who he is, feeds us a generous portion of his Spirit, even in tough times. The given premise is, of course, that we always need God's help in being generous. But first I will start off with three reasons as to why we may not be generous. We may be afraid to give too much. It's natural to want to take care of oneself first. After all, Jesus says you are to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. So if you don't look after yourself, you're not going to look after your neighbor either, are you? Part of looking at the self, of course, comes from the fact that we are raised to think that we should be financially independent. We assume that each of us, under normal circumstances, will earn enough money to take care of ourselves and our families, right? Though we have obviously come to some kind of national recognition that this isn't always possible and everyone receives benefit of one kind or another. So perhaps our point of view can be enriched a little more when we think about it. But part of the point is that if we can take care of ourselves, we don't like to have to think about the benefit system, do we? And so we sometimes find ourselves in and out of the pattern of watching every penny that we spend. And so, in conclusion of the first point, it's hard to be generous knowing this means there's less for yourself, or indeed even your family. Essentially, we're afraid that if we give too much, whatever that means, we won't have enough left over for ourselves. Secondly, we may think we can't give enough to make a difference. We let ourselves get overwhelmed, perhaps, with the task that's been set, say raising money to fix the whole church roof. The needs around us are so great. What we share seems so small, and so we wonder to ourselves, what's the point, even in increasing our giving just a little bit? And actually, this is one of the most important points in any strategy. What's the motivation? This doesn't just have to be about money. In fact, if you think like that, then the point is way too shallow. We could be talking about giving our time or using our talents and abilities. Because there aren't many of us, we think even our combined efforts on a project could be a waste of time. Because we don't have that many leaders, perhaps we wouldn't be able to supervise that many youth, or we don't have enough to organize some really fun and imaginative programs. But should this put us off from trying to organize a Sunday school or playgroup or holiday Bible club or host a youth rally? And if you're like me, you get requests asking for generous gifts to everything from the local food bank to helping children overseas to a foundation working to wipe out and kill disease. And again, we wonder whether what we give makes a difference for someone in need. Really? Because we're already told that all we give, even if it's just a few more pennies to a few more pounds, makes a huge difference. Then we just come up with other excuses, which brings me to point three. Somehow we convince ourselves that the particular organization that we give money to could perhaps be using our money more efficiently, or a certain percentage of the monies aren't going exactly to what they say the main charity's function is. Or in some other sense, somehow we feel our generosity could be abused. But in realizing that these are all supposed to be metaphors that somehow translate over to the church, do we really think there is a category we possess here that is abusive to the kingdom of God? If so, I'd like to hear it. And really, each and every one of us has the power to change it. We have voters' meetings at which at any time one can voice their concerns. If these are not brought up, then again we have no excuse for any hindrance to our generosity. Or are some being abused by what is not said? Do we not thank people enough for their generous donations as a member of the church? But really, is that why we're here? Should it be more hard to be generous when you don't get a thank you in return every week? I thought we were the ones thanking God for creating us, for sustaining us, for strengthening us with every means of grace He has to offer us in His word and sacrament. But I do appreciate that it's easy to stop sharing our resources with other people when we've seen our generosity misused or not appreciated. Perhaps even up to now you're still thinking that each of these reasons not to be generous have some truth to them. Well, I guess you'd be right, we're all sinful. But that doesn't change the fact that this is the kingdom in which God has promised to have His means of grace flourish and be generously distributed. Surely then, more to the point is that, perhaps even more than not, we let such reasons grow into excuses for not being generous at all. We want to be blessed ourselves, and so we sin, selfishly clinging to our own blessings. And so we come to the positives. Paul pushes us today to consider our generosity and provides the help we need to grow a generous spirit. So what does he do? He points us to Jesus, where we are clearly shown God's generosity to us. Paul says in verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he made himself poor for your sake, in order to make you rich by means of his poverty." The apostle isn't talking about the facts that Jesus didn't have a lot of money and never owned a home. He is talking about spiritual wealth. If sin is the spiritual debt we owe to God, then forgiveness earned for us by Jesus on the cross is the spiritual wealth by which he makes us rich. Paul says more about this in Romans 5, verse 8, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We are each blessed by God's generosity in giving Jesus to die, though we don't deserve it. That's why John 3:16 says God loved the world so much that he gave up Jesus. And now we get to the part where the generous God helps us be generous. With the Spirit of Christ working in us, we can be generous too. We can give by caring, just thinking about and praying for our neighbor. When we talk about generosity, we don't start with money. We start with what's in our heart. True generosity starts with a caring heart. Paul says that those poverty-stricken Macedonians first gave themselves to the Lord, verse 5. Then they, in turn, pleaded for the privilege of helping others. The English word generous comes from a French word meaning of noble birth. Our generosity, then, comes because we are of noble birth spiritually. We are children of the King, sisters and brothers of the Prince of Peace. So yes, we give out of what we have. What really is generosity? It isn't about amount. but attitude. It can be amazing to witness the generosity of the widow that gave all she had, or the husband who is just starting a new job, having been out of work for a while but still consistently has been given a few pounds every week. Those generous givers remind us of what Paul says in verse 12. If you are eager to give, God will accept your gift on the basis of what you have to give, not on what you don't have. In other words, when we give generously, it doesn't matter how big or how little our gift is, compared to what others give. We are generous because we care. We give out of what we have. Essentially, generosity is a gift from one's whole being. And we give to thank God. That's what the Macedonian Christians did. Paul writes in verse 2, in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Was that wise? How dare any one of us judge them and say it wasn't? It only speaks of our own lack of generosity. You could put a check for £1 million in the offering plate at a Sunday service, and if you're a billionaire, that might not be generous. It might be leftovers. You also might give a check for £1 million trying to buy God's forgiveness. Oh, we'd be grateful and might be tempted to use language that sounded thankful, but that would not be generosity either. Generosity comes from caring and trusting and thanking and putting part of oneself into what they're giving. A great saying goes around the church, we cannot outgive God. And it's absolutely right, but not just because that is how giving God is, but because of the part of the definition that necessarily includes giving of himself. Christ, of course, gave up his whole being for us when he died for our sins on the cross. That kind of giving is priceless. You can't pay God back for that. Even if you were to sacrifice your own body for your neighbor, you can't outgive God in this. Again, sometimes it's tempting to think that we have earned what we have, that we've been generous perhaps even to a fault in our lifetime as Christians, but we'd be looking at it the wrong way. We'd have forgotten who gave first. We were blessed, and we are blessed still. That is the only reason we can now bless others. So when you and I give ourselves to God, as the Macedonians did, we are not only grateful for all he's done for us, we continue to ask God for his forgiveness for all those times we're selfish instead of being generous. Here we are reminded primarily of how generous God is, not how generous we are or can be. Only then can we seek to be generous with our loved ones, our church, those in need here and elsewhere. Generosity is about sharing with others as God has first shared with us. Generosity is about treasure, but for us, our treasure is the talent God has for grace and the time of day he is willing to give us. Only then does it make sense to give to the Lord's treasury. God set aside a day of rest for us. May we receive it with humbleness and thanksgiving. And most of all, may we remember that God always blesses us from the cross of Jesus, where he paid for our sins, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood. Yes, in the name and for the sake of Jesus, we will feed on this generosity. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann. I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. This Sunday, we have our usual program of Lutheran study at 9:45 a.m. before the main divine service at 11. All are welcome. As for next week in Faith That Functions, for our lesson, we will be looking at Mark chapter 6 and how in this life, really, we travel light. So for now, God's peace be with you, now and always.